You're listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
And I'm Sam Tweedle.
And I'm Chris Gilpin.
And we are back on another Friday night to talk about all things comics. This is my first show back and I'm really, I feel like I haven't been here in like...
Ever.
2 months?
Well, has it only been 2 months? Feels longer. It feels longer for me. So I'm very happy to be back and with my buddies on a Friday night. It's where I want to be.
Cool.
Right now, right here.
And one of us is not in tonight, and Marty is at the Hamilton Comic Con this weekend.
But we should say that today is Marty's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Marty.
I'll sing all the bars of happy birthday I'm allowed to. Happy birthday.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Before
we have to pay royalties.
Yeah, but that's why the restaurants, they go, happy, happy birthday. It's your birthday, Martin. Martin, it's your birthday. Yeah.
Except usually they have some rhymes in there.
Oh, I don't know. I've never worked at a restaurant.
There you go.
And even then, I wouldn't be the guy coming out and doing it. I hate that crap.
It's the worst. I can't imagine having to do that.
Oh,
like as your job, you come out and I gotta sing for stupid so-and-so's birthday.
Yeah. And do you ever notice the moment that they're done, they just march back to the kitchen as fast as possible without, you know, any smiles? Like, it's just...
Yeah.
Me, as someone who goes to restaurants to eat, I hate that crap. You know, it's just like, oh, it's somebody's birthday. God, I wish it wasn't their birthday. It's wrecking my dinner.
Why can't they celebrate it at home?
That's right.
Like a normal person.
At least a restaurant I'm not eating at.
Go to McDonald's.
No, they do that at McDonald's too now, I think. So, anyway.
Yes.
Anyway. That's right. So, happy birthday, Marty. We wish that we were with you.
Yes. Not that you were here, that we were with you.
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. So, Marty and Dan were away at the some small convention.
Tri-City Supercon.
Oh, my God. I watched the pictures of that all weekend, and you guys looked like you had so much fun. I was, like, jealous I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I really felt like I missed out on something.
It was it was the first year.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. It
looked like fun.
There wasn't a whole lot of, like, traffic and stuff. Like... people at the convention, like there was a decent amount and I was in a good spot, but it was a good time.
It looked like it was a great time, and I bet you Hamilton would be the same. I was supposed to go to Hamilton, but just life didn't work out that way for me, so I'm not there, and I'm disappointed, but you know, but Martin, I'm sure he's having a great time. His family's from Hamilton,
yeah,
so he's with family this weekend, and he's gonna be comic booking it, and
yeah
I wish I was there with him, but anyway. Yeah.
All right, so we want to talk about Doctor Who?
Yes, we want to talk about Doctor Who. Have we all watched it?
Yes.
You watched it? I know you watched it. Yeah. I've seen it.
I have to watch it again, but yes.
Ah, I've watched it twice. I've seen it twice now. So,
okay, let's take a vote.
Okay.
And it's simply going to be yay or nay.
Okay.
So, for yay, raise your hand.
What are we yaying?
Like it.
Yeah, if you like it.
Okay.
Like, let's say more than 50%. Not, well, just if you like it, I guess.
If I like
it, then
we'll
quantify.
All right.
So we've got one vote from Chris.
I liked it. Yeah.
Yay.
A yay from Sam.
Yes.
Okay.
Here it comes.
And for the nays, that would be myself for a
really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But it's episode one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to quantify my vote, I will watch the entire series, even if I don't like it, because that's the kind of person I am and the kind of fan that I am.
Okay. Yeah.
But well, you guys talk about what you like.
Well, I mean, when I saw the first Capaldi episode, I was like, oh, I don't like this. But then by the end, I was like, no, don't leave. Yeah. I love you.
As everybody knew, I was a huge Peter Capaldi freak.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I miss Capaldi. And as I watched this episode, and I really liked it, I was like, you know, I would have liked one more year of Capaldi. I really would have. But this is the thing. And this is one of the reasons, one of the things I noticed was going on. I loved Capaldi because he embraced the classic Doctor Who that I grew up on and that I love.
Yeah.
But what I thought that Jodie Whittaker, that's her name, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what Jodie Whittaker did is she really was embracing the spirit and the essence of the new Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. That zany hyperness, that positivity, yet still being able to go to a dark place. I really felt I've been saying this thing all along where I was like, I've always been a little tentative. Okay, is it going to work with a woman? Is it going to work with a woman? I don't know. But I always said if the writers just write her as the Doctor and don't write her as the woman Doctor, it'll be okay. And because much like I've always been done that big thing where I said Missy was probably the best Master since Roger Delgado, because she just played him like Roger Delgado more than any other. Well, Anthony Ainslie was like Roger Delgado on speed. Okay, but so he did. But she got it. And I was watching Jodie Whittaker and I was like, you know what? Like, I can believe she's this character. Like, I really, truly did. And I'm like, you know what? Okay. Okay. I didn't feel they played with the character that much.
Yeah. Then now that you've said that, it makes me compare her to, like, a female David Tennant.
Definitely. You know, Matt Smith
and even...
Chris Eccleston.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, definitely.
I get that vibe now.
She got it. And so I was down with it. The companions... we're going to have to work on it a little bit. We're going to have to see where we go. But this was an interesting thing that somebody online, and actually I can say to you, is Colleen Hillerup, who is sort of the grand dame of nerd culture in Toronto. You guys would probably recognize her from Toronto conventions. And Colleen said a little thing she noticed is she said, she's like, just a little thing I noticed, four companions, two male, two female, and one's a grandfather.
Same as the original TARDIS lineup.
Oh.
And if you like the movie versions with Peter Cushing, one's a cop. Mm. You know what I mean? I thought that was neat.
I definitely, when the one kid, I should have studied up a little bit more, but when the one kid, or when they were doing the bike riding scene at the beginning, and the guy was like, come to Granddad, Graham, the older... Mm-hmm. Come to Granddad, and I was like, okay, stroke my beard a little bit, like, I see what you're doing there. I see what you're doing. You're mirroring
but I thought when Colleen pointed that out online, I thought that was really, really neat. Mm-hmm. And look, you know what, I think to me the supporting cast is the one thing that's going to need to grow on me.
Yeah.
I think when the and I'm about to shoot myself in the foot and be a giant hypocrite. I think when the Doctor has too many companions in the TARDIS, it's not as interesting. However, my two favorite eras of Doctor Who is the Third Doctor and the Fifth Doctor. Literally the unit team. Yeah. And the Fifth Doctor had four companions. And the reason, historically, the reasons why the Fifth Doctor had four extra companions was because they were taking a big risk when Tom Baker left.
Mm-hmm.
And they figured, okay, we need to build a really strong supporting cast, and we're going to have to like put as many companions in the TARDIS as possible. And everybody hated Adric anyway. So we needed more girls. And that's one thing that I think did work, is I found that the companions, when Peter Davison came in, to be so endearing, and they helped usher him in. So I was about to say it's less interesting, but maybe it's not less interesting. Now, maybe it's more interesting.
Here's something that
actually, you know what, I'm sorry to interrupt, But I just said everything I just said a few minutes ago about it not being not interesting is just actually pure shit. I actually was being an idiot. I'm already realizing I was wrong, but I just don't find Jodie Whittaker's companions very interesting.
Right.
Yet. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Dan.
We'll get to the companions in a sec, yeah. But just to say, like, I was talking about Doctor Who with Tabitha and stuff, mm-hmm. and because we went to the theater and watched this. It was the first time she's seen any Doctor Who. Period.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Oh my God.
She's not into sci-fi.
You need
stuff,
to show her Megalos, so. Where he turns into the
I haven't seen Megalos yet.
Oh, okay. I love that one.
I own it, but I haven't watched that one yet.
He turns into a cactus, Dan.
Yes. And it also stars Jacqueline Hill, Barbara.
Yes.
From the original TARDIS team. Yeah. Coming back.
And the Doctor turns into a cactus.
But like let's look
a space cactus, Dan.
Okay, well, enough right, about okay, a space cactus. Doctor Who has been on for 11 seasons now.
No.
Right? 11 seasons of the new series.
No, this is season 37.
11 seasons of the new series.
It's season
because
37,
because that's all that
Dan.
I'm referencing here.
Okay.
Yeah. Eccleston and Rose. Mm-hmm. Eccleston regenerates, Rose continues.
Yeah.
And then you've got the hard... And when Russell T. Davies leaves the show and Stephen Moffat takes over, mm-hmm. Matt Smith, Amy Pond, new companion, mm-hmm. new doctor, fresh start. Yeah. Then when Capaldi comes in, you have Clara bridges the gap.
Yes.
I find that every time they have that hard start where a new creative team takes over, it's that's what I'm comparing
this to.
It's
like you're watching the first episode of a whole new series.
It is. And you know what? I will be the first. I think I've said this on the show before. I'll be the first to admit, when I heard that Matt Smith was cast, like that they cast like an 18-year-old guy to be the doctor, I was livid. I was like swearing my head off.
Isn't that interesting?
Because the doctor, I didn't think that somebody that young could be the doctor.
Interesting.
Because I am a fan of the classics as well. Matt Smith came in, and unlike Sam, I loved him. Mm-hmm. From the first episode, by the end of the first episode, I was jumping off the couch going like, this is amazing. This guy's great.
I want to just interrupt for a second and we'll get back. But I found it interesting because when Matt Smith was cast, I was one of the people online that was like, everybody, let's calm down. This always happens and people get mad, but you know what? It's going to be okay.
Yes.
It's going to be okay. He's going to be fine. Everybody hates the idea. I remember when everybody was going to hate Tennant because Eccleston was gone. You know, everybody's like that. It's like, oh, he has a hipster haircut, you know, and that's what they were saying, right?
I wasn't one of those guys because I don't complain about things online.
Yeah, but I was like telling everybody, calm down, it's going to be fine, it's going to be fine. But then in the end, like, he's seriously possibly my least favorite doctor. But I was one of the ones... I wrote articles that said, he's going to be fine. It took me I think it was the second year that I realized I didn't like him.
Yeah.
I knew I didn't like something and I couldn't figure out what it was. And then eventually I realized I just looked at him as being like, he was like Roger Rabbit. Literally, it was like, to me, it was watching Roger Rabbit in space.
We're talking Smith.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he just was cartoony. And childish, and it was like he had autism or something, and I didn't like it. But anyways, I'm sorry I interrupted you. I want to go back to what you were saying.
Then you can't interrupt because I don't know what I was saying.
Oh my God, I'm the worst. This is why you should not have me on this show.
You were talking about how the show's...
Yeah.
Yeah, every time there's a hard break where there's no bridging the gap, and that's what this is again. But like, I found the Matt Smith one by the end of it, going into it being like, I was like, David Tennant is the greatest doctor. This new young guy, whatever, it sucks. I'll give it a shot. But and then by the end of the first episode, like, it was amazing. But you know, this is going to be a really, like, I feel like this show is going to be full of us rambling and running back to points and stuff.
Maybe.
The reason that I loved Matt Smith's first episode... is because
Amy Pond's hot costume.
Yeah. Amy Pond. Yeah. Okay, first of all, let me digress a moment because I was dying with laughter when the new companion is a cop because Amy Pond was dressed as a cop in the first episode.
Right.
But she was actually like a kissogram.
Yes.
And because I remember thinking.
I'd kiss that gram.
I remember thinking before as I was watching like promotional stills from the first episode come up online, like right before the airing over here. And I was like, oh, is she going to be a cop? Like, is she going to be like a hard ass woman who's just like giving the doctor a hard time? And like, just, is this going to suck the fun out of the TARDIS? Like, that she's going to be this character that's just no nonsense. And but instead she was like a completely like
awesome character.
Awesome and like ridiculous but great character.
To me, the only thing watchable about Matt Smith's era was the companions. He had great companions. Like Rory, River Song, Amy, of course, but Clara before she started to suck.
And you know what? To continue not talking about the episode we said we're going to talk about, I've been rewatching Capaldi's run, and I started at the beginning like about a year ago, honestly, made a few episodes and then stopped, and then just recently just like started powering through it. And like, I liked it. I was a Capaldi apologist in the beginning.
What do you mean?
Well, nobody likes him except for you and me.
Oh.
So, you know, I'd be like, no, like, I mean, and, but the other thing too is that we have to be completely honest and say Stephen Moffat has lost a step.
Yes.
Capaldi's episodes were not the greatest, like, story-wise. Resolutions weren't great. Mm-hmm. Like, the moon is a dragon. You know, like, there's all these things where, where, like, the episode is fantastic, except for the explanation about it all at the end.
Right.
You know, a forest grows on the earth overnight, and they explore it. That's cool. And then it burns off, and nobody remembers. Okay, no, like you can't do that. So Stephen Moffat's writing and the stories themselves maybe weren't 100%. This is no longer Silence in the Library or
I
like,
agree.
You know?
Yeah.
But Capaldi is brilliant.
He's brilliant.
He's amazing.
He's amazing.
He's literally like, I could watch him all day.
Yeah, I agree.
And he is just, to me, he is the embodiment of the Doctor.
I 100% agree. And have you ever heard my theory on why so many people didn't like him?
Is it just because he's old?
No.
Okay.
And I'm going to apologize to you, Chris.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to apologize to you before I start, so please disagree with me when you're ready to disagree.
All right.
Because you will.
Uh-oh.
I always found that the people who had the biggest issue with Capaldi... Okay, so Doctor Who, when it came back, it was huge in Europe, and it was big in Canada because CBC was showing it. CBC actually had some sort of marketing deal with it at the time. But it didn't hit in the States right away. And when the America really embraced it was with Matt Smith.
Yeah.
The Americans loved Matt Smith. And when Matt Smith came in, people that experienced Doctor Who for the first time who were never watching the old series, who didn't watch David Tennant, didn't watch Chris Eccleston, something about the Matt Smith era just brought people out of the woodwork. And it went to the highest of the high, right? All of a sudden, it was Tom Baker what? And it was all about Matt Smith, right? So that was the first Doctor anybody, like I would say a huge source of the fans ever saw.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they put in a guy like Peter Capaldi who embraces 50 years of the freaking series. And they're like, I don't like this. I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah.
And I really feel it was all the new fans that really dug Matt Smith that had the hate on for him because it was so different. And it was literally like, and I feel that they weren't embracing the spirit of regeneration. They weren't embracing the spirit of the series because they didn't understand it because all they understood was Matt Smith.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I totally feel. So I really think it was the Matt Smith. Like it was the 100,000 Matt Smith cosplayers that just had shitty, you know, easy costumes.
Yeah.
They were the ones that were screaming and crying. And it wasn't actual Doctor Who fans, just Matt Smith fans.
Sidebar. At Fan Expo this year, I saw three First Doctor cosplayers.
Cool.
First Doctor. Yeah. Like I was just like, holy cow. Like, I've never in my life seen a First Doctor cosplayer in Canada. Like, I see pictures maybe from
one of my favorites. I remember being at a convention one time, and there was this kid. I went up and talked to him. He was like a 16-year-old kid. And he was dressed up as Colin Baker's Sixth Doctor. And he was a kid. And I said, what? I said, nobody likes Colin Baker. He's like, he's my favorite. And I'm like, you are awesome.
Arguably, though, I've seen it hypothesized that Colin Baker's Doctor Who series are the closest in tone to current new Doctor Who. Because it's dark and he's not...
Colin Baker is a phenomenal actor. I've seen him in other things that aren't Doctor Who. I watch a Colin Baker episode and I go, oh my God, Colin Baker, it wasn't your fault. Like, I don't blame Colin Baker.
Yeah.
I believe it was John Nathan Turner, who either you like him or you hate him. Tom Baker definitely hates him. I watched Tom Baker talk about John Nathan Turner, and I literally want to go, oh my God, old man, shut up. You're just rewriting history because John Nathan Turner's dead and he can't defend himself, and you are alive and old and everybody loves you. Okay? Like, literally, he's like, John Nathan Turner, he had too much power and he tried to silence me. It's like, because he was the damn showrunner, the producer, and you were a drunk who came in and wanted to make shit up as you went along because you were Tom Baker. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I can see why he had a problem with you. But anyway, I digress. I think John Nathan Turner got bored of Doctor Who. And he was trying to get out of it, and the BBC wouldn't let him, and he was trying to kill it. So he was literally like, it was like, you know the movie The Producers?
No.
The Producers. Mm-hmm. About these two producers, and they try to do like the worst show of all time so they can get out of it and something that'll shut down. So they come up with a play called Springtime for Hitler.
Yeah.
And this is literally what I think John Nathan Turner was trying to do to Doctor Who. It was literally like, okay, what's the worst decision-making I can make so it'll get canceled so I can leave the series? And that's what Colin Baker's era was. It's like, I'm going to create a doctor who has the worst costume ever and have a companion that is just boobs, because her boobs were like...
The third and fourth companion.
They were. And Nicola or Bryan.
Second.
Yeah. And the doctor is going to be stingy, a coward, a braggart, argumentative, snobbish, and him and the companion will just argue all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, it was literally like, he's like, what's the worst thing I can do to kill this series? And that's what he did. And it didn't work. It almost worked. But, you know, but then they brought in Sylvester McCoy, which was, holy geez, a lot better. But it's funny. We're talking about every single doctor except the new one.
Well, that's true. okay, so.
So.
Here's what I didn't like.
Okay.
The... Okay, so I went into this excited. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had, as you have, I have reservations about changing the sex of the doctor. Mm-hmm. And I've read a lot of the stuff, like, from the BBC and whatnot, and from the Doctor Who team about, like, why this is a good thing and everything. And you know what? I completely have an open mind, okay? Mm-hmm. I have watched Colin Baker... Right. I've watched every episode of Doctor Who except for like maybe two seasons from Tom Baker that I'm currently working through.
Okay.
I will watch anything that they put out. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch. I'm excited to see what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. Earlier in the day, I was watching BBC crime drama. Okay. And then I went to watch Doctor Who and I watched a BBC crime drama. Mm-hmm. It felt like I was watching the exact same thing that I had just watched. This episode had no magic to it. Hmm. There was nothing that makes it visually Doctor Who.
Interesting.
Like, I was sitting there in the I paid $30 to go see this for two tickets, okay? Mm. And I'm sitting there going,
should've
like,
should have done what I didn't downloaded it for free.
Well, here's the thing, Sam. I'm not going to say that that's not how I have to watch the rest of the episodes.
Okay.
But this one was in the theater, and yeah, I'm like, you know what? We have this thing of going to the Doctor Who in the theater, and I was like, I'm going to do this. Took Tabitha to see her first Doctor Who episode. And it was also, I was like, she's never seen it. This is going to be great, because I can see what her opinion is without it being like her knowing anything, you know, about the past and stuff. But like, It's dark. It's bleak. There's very little music throughout it. Mm-hmm. It visually has nothing magical about it that makes me feel like this is Doctor Who.
Interesting. I like the fact, Dan, that it's not Jodie Whittaker you didn't hate. It was the actual production of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, thumbs down on the episode. And I will say, like, I have watched Colin Baker. Mm-hmm. So, Jodie Whittaker, doctors come, doctors go. I will continue to watch.
Did you like her?
I didn't mind her. Okay. Like, I think I hurt myself by watching Capaldi and stuff right beforehand. And just because there is something so, like, Capaldi. Like, I feel like if you cut him, he would bleed Doctor Who, like, when he's in that role. Like, yeah. He's just such the...
Oh, my God. He's so good. You know? He's magic.
And so... But, like, I was actually bored watching this episode.
Interesting.
Because it was just so visually boring. There was nothing exciting about this episode. Hmm. Like, can you tell me something visually exciting in this episode besides the final thing where she fights Tim Shaw?
I wasn't looking for that. I was looking for I was so focused on Jodie Whittaker and her performance that I wasn't even paying attention to the rest of it.
I mean,
and as I told you, I wasn't super impressed with the companions at all.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, I guess I wasn't looking at it in the same eyes as you were.
Maybe it's because I was also, like, in the theater where everything is, like, bigger and in your face. And so these things just kind of, like kind of punched me in the face. Whereas if you're watching on TV, you might not have noticed, like, how dark it feels and, like, and how quiet the episode is. Like, there's a lot of quiet, like, there's a lot of the episode that's just, there's no, just ambient sound, like right now in the studio. You know, where there's no, like, music to build up a feeling.
Now, Chris, me and Dan spent a lot of talking.
Yeah, I'm enjoying listening to you.
Well, what do you think about it? What did you like about it?
I liked everything. I'm trying to think of what... It was different, but I did like it. The two younger companions kind of reminded me of Rory and Amy almost.
Okay.
I can't see the grandfather being a companion for very long. He just doesn't fit in. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, but her, I thought she did a good job.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought she did a great job. You know, she was under a lot of pressure, obviously.
But, obviously. And for fans like us that are ready to kick it down.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know what? The internet's a fandom is such an evil place that no matter how good she is, there's going to be people that are going to just take her down anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
It was interesting because there is absolutely nothing, right, from the other series. Nothing. No aliens, no, you know, yep. It's new aliens. We haven't even seen the TARDIS yet.
No.
Oh, I've seen what it looks like.
I know, but yeah. It wasn't.
But, like, it wasn't in the episode.
It wasn't there yet.
Right? Okay. Yeah. No familiar faces at all. Even the...
Sonic screwdriver.
Sonic screwdriver, right?
That's my one beef. Okay, so it's so easy to make a sonic screwdriver that you can make it from garbage that you find in a warehouse on the Earth. I know, and I... 2 points, one positive, one negative.
Okay.
Point A, they don't reference other than a few fleeting references that she's a woman. Mm-hmm. It's not in your face like, oh, the doctor's a woman, blah, 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 except like one line at the end where she's like, you don't have to go by your old ways, Tim Shaw. You can make a new path or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a positive. The negative, though, is like I feel like maybe they were like, you know what? She's smarter than the rest of the doctors because she can make a sonic screwdriver out of garbage she finds.
See, I was always under the impression that the TARDIS...
Which is how they generally,
you know,
portrayed it. Lays, yeah.
The sonic screwdriver for the doctor. Mm. That's how I always thought it was. So I was like, what is she doing? But did you notice the one line she said about, it's been a long time since I bought women's clothes. So
I did notice that, which I thought was hilarious.
I liked, well, then there, one of the lines was she's something about, he said, somebody, when she first realized that she was a woman, and they said, something, but you're a woman. And he said, I'm a woman. That's different, or something like that. I don't remember how the line went, but it was.
You know what would have been? You know what would have been the line? You're a woman. And she goes, oh, I wanted to be a ginger. Like, because that's been the line the past things, right?
Yeah,
like, but you're right. Absolutely right. There is a hard line drawn in the sand. This is Chris Chibnall's Doctor Who and screw everything else. Like, when Stephen Moffat took over, what was the best part about the 11th Hour, the first Matt Smith episode? The ending, when Matt Smith is threatening the alien, saying, you better, don't you realize that this planet is protected? And the alien's device starts showing all of the previous doctors from one all the way up to 10. And then Matt Smith steps through David Tennant's projection and says, I'm the doctor, get off my planet. Bam! That, my friends, is how you introduce a doctor and you make the audience go, bleep, Like, that is how you introduce a doctor. To me, even if I had never seen anything from Doctor Who, like, that's such a moment. Stephen Moffat can write moments and speeches. Like, Matt Smith had the greatest speeches of any doctor.
But did he?
He did.
Okay.
There might have been a lot of stuff you didn't like around them, but when he had to say a speech, they're
Capaldi's final speech? Okay, I'm not a crier, but I can tell you two times in Doctor Who I've cried. Capaldi's final speech had me ugly crying. And Tom Baker's speech in the 50th anniversary episode had me even uglier crying. Okay, those are my two favorite speeches in Doctor Who history.
And I mean,
oh, and also the time that William Hartnell was locking Susan out of the TARDIS, and he does that speech, and you're just like,
But that just kind of dawned on me that there is no connection, none whatsoever, to anything else
yet. But that's the only first episode. Do we know they won't connect things eventually?
Oh, they will.
But look what. I guess, but it's the attitude. This is not, this episode was not made for us. They could care less about us.
Yeah, it's the new.
They only care about people who are watching for the first time.
Interesting.
Because there was nothing in it that was aimed at us at all. Not even a joke.
Yeah.
But this is the first episode, Sam. This is the pivotal episode. This is the episode where 95% of the viewers are going to decide if they're going to rewatch.
I'm going to rewatch.
Yeah, we're the 5%.
Oh.
Like, this is, you know what? Like, I was watching this episode, and when it was done, I literally just was like, there's nothing in this that would make me want to rewatch or keep watching as a new viewer. I didn't find the episode exciting. Like I said, I felt like I was watching a British crime drama, and those aren't notoriously fast-paced or, you know, action-filled.
Yeah.
It just, I watched this and I was like, this is going to be the worst ratings drop between episodes 1 and 2.
Do you think so?
I do.
That'll be interesting to see if you're right, my friend.
It will be interesting. You know what else is also interesting?
What's that?
The AI score for this episode hasn't been released. The computer, there's been computer problems, apparently.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So, and if you don't know, the AI rating is viewers can rate how much they liked an episode. And so it gives you not just the number of people who watched, but what they actually thought of it. Doctor Who generally did, it's a score out of 100, around 80 to 82 in general. Okay. Maybe some of Capaldi's later episodes started to drop a bit.
Okay.
So that's like Matt Smith at his height would be like 85, 86.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see what people say.
Yeah.
But normally that comes out the very next day.
Interesting.
And here we are a week later with nothing.
Now, what I got the very next day and I got very excited about was Mattel released the day after that there is going to be a Jodie Whittaker Barbie doll being released.
Yeah,
and it will be the first Doctor Who Barbie. And immediately I was online trying to figure out how to order this damn thing because I want one so bad. But you can only kind of get them in the UK site, or just they're not really yet available in North America, and that really was frustrating to me. Yeah. I'm still trying to get the Bindi Irwin one, which I can't get out of Australia, but actually on an upper shelf in my home, I have sci-fi dolls. I have some Planet of the Apes ones, and I have one from UFO, which is a Gary Anderson series, and then I have David Tennant, a Cyberman, and a Dalek. And I really want the Jodie Whittaker to go with them. But, I can't.
Also, did you know that this is a short series?
No, I didn't.
It's only going to be 10 episodes.
But what are they usually?
Normally, they're 13 plus a Christmas.
Okay.
It has been almost an entire year without Doctor Who again. Mm. And then to have a new everything. I think that makes the transition harder as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, there was another thing I read, too, which was online I thought funny. Apparently, after they decided to make Doctor Who a woman, there was a faction of fans that went all crazy petitioning for James Bond, the next James Bond, to be a woman. Mm-hmm. And I guess the studio just released this week that James Bond will not be a woman. Mm-hmm. James Bond is a man and will always be a man. And I was like, changing James Bond to a woman is just going too far. You know what I mean? It's shut up. You know, it's time to shut up. You know, it's like turning Superman into a woman. Oh, wait, that's Supergirl. You know what I mean? It's just like, and I'm like, who are these people that want to turn James Bond into a woman? Look, I'm okay with Doctor Who being a woman, but sometimes a character just does not work as a woman.
Yeah.
You know? Unless Russ Meyer was directing it, then I might watch it. Because there'd be a lot of James Bond being a woman and Bond girls. Okay, wait. Maybe I'd sign up for that.
Sam's offended all the feminist listeners.
Wow.
But
and I'm the most...
three of them.
The three of them.
So we've got 10 episodes to judge.
Mm-hmm. Nine more.
We should have this conversation again 9 episodes from now. And let's see how we all feel. Wouldn't it be funny if Dan's the one who likes the series? I'm the one like, that was crap! And Chris, you'll just be like, I don't know, it was really good, yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
I still think Matt Smith's the best, though.
It's just missing. It's just missing the magic that is Doctor Who. Mm. It's all it's missing. It's just the magic, that essence that you can't define. It's just missing that. They can figure that out.
The series always has the wow moments. Mm-hmm. Like the last one for me before Capaldi leaving was Missy.
Yeah,
when she closed the loop.
Wasn't that good?
Because. What's his name? The Master, right? Was going down the elevator to die and regenerate into Missy.
Yeah.
But she stopped that from... Oh, I was like... I watched that over and over again. I was like, this is awesome.
Man, I hated that guy as the Master.
Like John Sim.
Oh, I hated him as the Master so much. And I remember when he became the Master, all these people was like, he's the greatest Master ever. I'm like, really? How many other Masters have you seen? Well, I've never seen any other Masters, but I really like John Sim. It's like, shut up.
See, like, I think...
shut up.
I think John Sim was okay as the Master.
No, he wasn't.
Just as a very different take on the Master.
What was that dancing crap?
That was
Roger Delgado does not dance.
That was the style at the time.
Delgado.
That's RTD's version of the Master.
Oh my god, that was crap.
But the new series has to have some wow moments, or it's just not gonna.
And I believe it'll happen.
But
they were under so much pressure to make that first episode happen and work.
Yeah.
But shouldn't that wow factor come in the first episode?
It just hasn't happened.
Because
yet.
It did with Matt Smith.
Yeah, but that was with Matt Smith. Even I thought Matt Smith was going to be good at that point.
And he was. Very good.
Yeah. But there's some moments that, like when they figure out that Melody Pond and River Song, and it's like, oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah, I know, right?
So it's got to have some of those. I mean, if it...
Some of your wow moments are some of the moments that other people hate, too, though.
Well, that's too bad. Because River's awesome.
I'm just trying to see, like, has Chibnall... I'm going to sound like a bad Doctor Who fan here, but like I'm trying to see what else Chibnall has written for Doctor Who. Like I feel like he's written a couple of episodes over the previous seasons, but I can't seem to find them. Because I just want to know, I want to try to gauge what's next. But here's what's next. Because we already know what's happening in the next episode.
I don't.
Well, it's the...
Spoilers!
Spoilers,
I don't care about spoilers.
It's an assumption.
Right? They're in space without the TARDIS.
Right.
And they end up on an alien planet. Like, every episode of Doctor Who, except... Every new Doctor, except Capaldi, follows a very strict formula. First episode is in present times on Earth. Second episode is an alien planet where the companions are like, oh my God, space travel. And the third episode is in the past. Capaldi did episode 1 and 3 together when he traveled to the past in the first episode instead of being in the present.
I'm just trying to think if that follows every Doctor through history.
Like going back through the older ones?
Yeah.
Because like it does with the first...
The first Doctor, no. The first Doctor ends up in the prehistoric age.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think, how many episodes was it that they end up on Skarov?
That's the second serial.
That's the second serial. Yeah,
For seven episodes.
But how long was it, An Earthly Child?
An Earthly Child was 4 episodes. Okay. The first episode in present time before they hijacked
it. And then they go to the prehistoric age.
Yeah.
Patrick Troughton's first one was on an alien planet.
That's true. Power of the Daleks.
But... Pertwee's first episode was in present time, and his second episode was in present time, and his third episode was in present time, and his fourth, fifth, and probably up to about 10. Yeah, because he was allowed to go by the time he was stranded on Earth.
Oh, yeah, the TARDIS was broken.
Right. No, he was
taken away from him by the Time Lords.
Yeah.
It was a wacky, crazy time back then.
But then Baker's first episode was on Earth.
Robot on planet Earth, yeah.
And then...
Was it Ark in Space? The second one,
he was in space. Peter Davidson's first episode was on a planet. However, he regenerated on Earth, but they had to bring him to a planet to because he was dying. And they had to bring him back to life.
Is that Castrovalva?
Castrovalva. Yeah.
Davison dies on an alien planet.
He dies on an alien planet whatever, in the TARDIS, yeah. So, was Colin Baker ever on Earth? I don't know if he was or not.
I don't know.
Not much.
I hate when Doctor Who, that has been running for seasons where it's like, it's 2015 or something, and they're like, oh no, we're in the far future of 1985, which happens to be the year that we're filming this.
Yeah.
You know, like...
I know we never saw Colin Baker regenerate.
No.
Because Colin Baker sort of...
He got fired.
But he got fired, but they wanted him to come back for a regeneration scene. He was like, hell knows.
You fired me.
I'm out of here.
Are you going to tell the story?
What one was that?
About Sylvester McCoy. And how the regeneration with Colin Baker was done.
I don't know that
story.
You
don't story.
Know that
story? No. The regeneration is Sylvester McCoy wearing a wig to look like Colin Baker.
I didn't know that.
And then they have him in the wig, and then they take the wig off, and then they merge those two shots to do the typical transition regeneration.
Now, one of those stupidest... regenerations, in my opinion, was the regeneration from Sylvester McCoy to Paul McGann.
Yeah.
Literally, it's in San Francisco, and there's two Asian gangs having a shootout. Like,
this has to go down as one of the worst moments in Doctor Who.
It does. So there's these two Asian street gangs having a shootout, and then the TARDIS reemerges. In the middle of the shootout, and Sylvester McCoy, God bless him for coming back and doing this, steps out of the TARDIS and goes choop 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 choop, and he gets shot in a gang shootout. Like, what do you call that? Like
crossfire.
Crossfire.
Oh man!
And then he ends up taking one of the gang members as one of as his new companion.
I have to feel that if you're a classic Doctor Who fan, and the Doctor Who's been off the air from like 87 until 96, it's been 9 years.
Yeah.
And then you're like, yes, the movie, awesome, this is so great. And then Sylvester McCoy opens the TARDIS and literally walks out into gunfire and dies. Like, that's an FU. That's an FU to the classic fans. But you know, like, bloop, who cares?
But you know what was a bigger FU to classic fans? Eric Smith. No, Eric Roberts as the master. Eric frickin' Roberts as the master. All right. Oh, I love the fact that they wanted, apparently the... okay, so do you know anything much about the Pomegan Doctor Who? Okay, no. What it was is Fox got the rights to do Doctor Who. And they were going to do an American Doctor Who series. But they got rights. So they made a 2-hour TV movie pilot to do on Fox.
Yeah.
And it would be the American Doctor Who. And they say, and I've had people, like, the BBC has literally said that if Sylvester McCoy had not done it, they wouldn't have made it canon. It would have been like the Peter Cushing films. But because Sylvester McCoy actually signed up and says he's only in it for a few minutes, like he's barely in it.
He's only in it alive for a few, but then yeah. Like his body is, they rush him to the hospital and like they spend 20 minutes on him in the hospital.
Yeah.
Like, but as the doctor, he literally, there's, oh no, the TARDIS cloister bell is going. I've got to run around and figure out emergency landing. And then he walks out into the gunfire and gets shot and rushed to the hospital.
Yeah. Like he's barely in it. And then the whole thing's just like car chases and motorcycle chases and, you know, explosions. Like it's very American.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor, that's the first time the doctor has a romantic affair. Like the first time he ever kisses a woman.
He also reveals that he's half human.
Yeah, they reveal he's half human. You know, like they just kind of, and I remember, if I can go back, what year was it? 1996?
Yeah.
I remember I was part of the Peterborough Doctor Who fan club at the time because it was like seriously the only place you could get Doctor Who anything. And I remember we had a big viewing party, right? And we all got together and we all sat and we were all excited. And there was maybe about, you know, a dozen or so people there. And we all watched it together. And then after it was over, there was that just kind of uneasy hush over the room. And do you remember when you went to saw Phantom Menace for the first time? Oh, wait, no, I don't remember because that didn't happen. Yeah. But seriously, do you remember when you went to see Phantom Menace and then you all sat there and you tried to justify why it was good, although you know it wasn't good, but you tried to justify...
Or maybe this is kind of like, and with the current show, when the movie was done, Tabitha is like, and turns to me in the theater, she's like, did you like it? And I said, we'll talk about it outside.
Yeah, yeah. But do you remember that uneasy feeling where you try to justify why it might be good? That's kind of the way that was. You knew it wasn't good.
You're a TV movie apologist.
It wasn't good. But I thought McGann wasn't bad.
The little snippets he's done that Stephen Moffat wrote in the newer series is like as the little bits and pieces here and there, he's great.
Yeah. But what was so interesting is after this, it didn't get picked up. McGann was like, it's so anti-Doctor. He wouldn't talk about it. He wouldn't admit it. He wouldn't show up at... He'd get invited to Doctor Who stuff. He's like, no, I don't want any part of that. And he wouldn't show up. And then the moment it exploded, he's like, hello, I was a doctor. Hi, I was a doctor too, remember? I know nobody knows who I am now, but I was a doctor for a minute. You know, I was at a I was at a show with him one time where he was at a convention. I couldn't get near him. The lineup for him was so massive, you know. And again, just like Colin Baker, I watched that Paul McGann thing, and that's all it was. It was a thing. It's ugh. But I look at it, and I'm like, you know what, Paul McGann, it wasn't your fault. I think Paul McGann could have been fantastic. He had it. It's just the writing and the direction and where they were trying to go Americanize it. Like whoever put together the Doctor Who movie really didn't get it.
But
there was that moment. Do you remember that beautiful moment in the morgue where he's trying to find some clothes and he pulls out a big long scarf and he looks at it and he goes, nah.
And you know, they didn't do anything like that with Jodie Whittaker.
They didn't, yeah.
Like, because that was another thing. They almost always do some gag with the outfit.
And the only gag in this one was Dan gagging on his own bile.
No, don't portray me that badly. But like, Stephen Moffat and Matt Smith did American Doctor Who right.
Yes.
That's what that is. That's what they did, is they Americanized the show.
Maybe that's why I didn't like it.
And that is 100% why you didn't like it.
All I saw it was slapstick, and it was like, as I said, it was like watching Roger Rabbit.
Like working in the movie and music retail business as Doctor Who grew. Like, I remember, I got into Doctor Who when about season 3 was airing. Season 3 of the new series. Right. You don't have to do that, Sam. We know, we get your point, man. We get your point. And like, people would bring it up to buy it, and I'd be like, "Oh, Doctor Who, that's a great show." I would say quietly, cuz I don't want people to know I like it, because it's weird and it was bizarre. Like, the Russell T. Davies years were very bizarre and very weird. There was like literally farting aliens. Like they were just, you know? And then when Matt Smith came along, and I was like, okay, Matt Smith is cool, I like this. And now suddenly there is literally people run into the store and they're like, oh, look, there's a TARDIS on that thing. And like, people are just, all of a sudden, this is everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's huge. But it's different people.
Put yourself in my shoes for a second. Imagine being a Doctor Who fan in 1985. And that's when I first discovered the series, and I was insane over it. Like, it was my life. You see those little kids dressed up as Doctor Who at the conventions? Like, that was me. Okay? So Peter Davison was in the TARDIS. And I was, I don't know how old I was in 1985, 10 years old. That's exactly how old I was. I was 10 years old, and Peter Davison was my hero. He literally, I ate, drank, slept Doctor Who. I was more into Doctor Who than I am now, and I'm really into Doctor Who now. But as a child, it was my whole life. And what record collecting is to me now is what Doctor Who was to me as a child at the age of 10. And imagine going to a school in 1985, where there's been no superhero movies, no comic book movies, no geek culture, where it's all about hockey cards, hockey.
Yeah.
And no one in your class watches Doctor Who. And nobody cares about Doctor Who. And everybody just think that's weird, that weird show after today's special that we turn the channel because it's weird and British and we don't get it.
Yeah.
Okay. I was bullied because I liked Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
I was made fun of because I liked Doctor Who. Doctor Who fans were like if it was literally like if you lived if you were a Star Trek fan and you lived in your mom and dad's your mom's basement, Doctor Who fans were under the basement. They were in the sub basement. You know, they were in the pipe somewhere. You were literally a rat. Mm-hmm. If you know, and it was. It wasn't not cool. It wasn't just not cool to be a Doctor Who fan. It was like you were a social pariah.
Yeah.
So it's always it's so funny for me to be a Doctor Who fan because I love the fact that more people know it so I can talk to them about it, and the fact that I have the knowledge going back. People are like, "Oh, you're one of the old school guys," and it makes me kind of like cool. But trust me, I had to bleed for that.
Yeah.
And the fans now, they don't have to bleed for it in the same way that I did. Yeah. I have battle scars, man. I have battle scars. In the world of Doctor Who, I'm John frickin' Hurt. Okay, that is who I am.
He's the War Doctor.
That's who I am.
But it's the same with comic conventions, right?
Like, yes, fist bump.
15 right? years ago, or yeah. whatever, you know, Fan Expo was the upper floor of the North Building,
yeah.
and it was so small.
Yeah.
And now it's huge, and it's just cool to go. Right, and I think I would hazard to guess like 50% of those people that go don't own a comic book.
Nope. I find it interesting when my mother and father run a daycare, And I go to the daycare, and I've been doing this now for 10 years. I'll go to the daycare, and I can talk to the kids about Wolverine, X-Men. They know who the Black Canary is. Mm-hmm. They know, they, you know, these kids, they know who Zatanna is. They know who, you know, Ant-Man is. You know, they watch all the shows, and they're all into it. And all the kids know superheroes. Yeah. And I look at those kids, and I'm like, where were you kids when I was growing up? Because for me, in my neighborhood, as I said, again, it was all about hockey. It was just all these hockey kids. And that was, and there was nobody. I found out later on, like, there were kids who were reading comics, but they weren't admitting it.
Yeah.
Where I was, like, going into grade 7 in my freaking Batman shirt. You know what I mean? Batman. I got teased for that. Mm-hmm. Of course, by grade 9, everybody was wearing Batman shirts because the Tim Burton film was there, right? But, like, you know what I mean? Like I was teased, and that was all right. I'm a bit weird. I took teasing like a champ. Like, I was pretty good surviving that. But you know what? I've talked to some nerds. Like, if Marty was here, he would tell you he's a lot more bitter about it than I am. He's just bitter in general about things sometimes than I am. I think we're like, I'm literally the Ernie to his Bert. I could be angry or bitter about these things, but to me, it's like, oh my God, what an amazing world the kids live in today. Mm-hmm. Where they can love, they not only love Spider-Man and Batman without getting teased, but they can watch Doctor Strange, and they can watch,
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Like, wow. Wow. When we were growing up, all we had was Batman movies and Superman movies, and then they'd make another Batman movie and another Superman movie, and then a Supergirl movie, and then a Batman movie, and that was it.
Yeah.
That was it. You know, we didn't have, man, the kids today.
Well, it's the, not us, but not the kids, the ones in the middle. Like, you know, the Netflix shows are awesome. Yeah. But you get these people like, oh, they're horrible. Like, I'm like, shut up. We didn't have this when I was a kid.
Marty has a good opinion. He talks about that too. And that's why he – see, I am one of those people that's like, you know what? I still haven't seen that new – what's that Avengers Infinity Identity Crisis thing?
Infinity War.
Right. I haven't seen it. And I don't care if I ever do. Mm-hmm. And so I am that guy. Where Marty has this amazing optimism. I just called him a bitter old man, but really, he's not. He has this amazing optimism where he's like, I didn't have this, so I'm going to love all of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great – Martin's attitude on that should be an example to all of us.
Yeah. The TV shows, like, I love Supergirl. I love it. I think it's a great
one
show.
Thing I was going to talk about tonight, but we're out of time, was about some of the new announcements they've come up for some of the new TV shows. There's some exciting stuff coming out. Suicide Squad just got announced. Not Suicide Squad, Secret Six. They're doing Secret Six TV series.
I hadn't seen that.
Stargirl. I am so excited about Stargirl. Yeah. Titan started this week, which I have the first episode, but I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's out now. There's so many cool shows coming on. Batwoman.
Yeah.
I saw the costume. It looks fantastic.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got too excited talking about one TV show.
But
however, I feel like it's fair. Like, this is a huge event. This is a shift.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Man, I want that Jodie Whittaker Barbie. Christ, where can I find one of those?
I just want episode. I wish I had the whole series to binge and then just be out the other side. And
you know
what?
Maybe you should go another 9 weeks without watching it and then just do it then.
No, I can't do that because like I've watched. Ever since Matt Smith's first episode, I've watched them the week they've aired for every episode. So
I got you beat. I've been doing it since Eccleston.
Well, I didn't get into it quite then. But since Sam wins, that's all the time we've got. So tune in next week and see what we think about episode 2 and nothing but episode 2.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics radio show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?